Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Cincy Foodcast. As always, I am your lovely host, your Maitre D', Russell. I'm so happy to continue to take you through the world of food together with us. And as I say us, I would, of course, be remiss not to introduce our lovely hostess, the head chef of our home, the head chef of my heart, mind you. Hello, it's Doris.
Hello, Russell. I have to say that was kind of cheesy.
Kind of cheesy for our food podcast?
Yeah.
Or would you say it was corny?
I would say... Yesterday, you say you were the head chef of our home, so I'm still not happy about it.
Right. Okay, well, how about this? I'll be the manager of the home, and you can be the head chef of the home. How's that?
That's a good trade, right? Much better, mister.
I think it's much better. Now, I would like to, on the topic of home, I would like to do some quick housekeeping. So some quick notes, as always, we have, of course, our Twitter and our Instagram, and coming soon is our very own TikTok. You can follow us on all of these, the Cincy Foodcast. You can stay up to date with the show. You can see the food we're eating. We'll post some videos of what we're having, just some comments on it. It's a great way just to kind of get a glimpse visually of what we're up to. Sometimes a podcast can convey a lot of emotion and stories through audio, but they say a picture says 1,000 words. So if you want to see many more words than you'll hear on this podcast, follow us in all those places. Now, Doris, with that all out of the way, I would like to dive into an episode that I consider rather spicy. I think we have a red hot passion for it. It's not this restaurant. It's not the home of hot takes, but it is the home of hot takeaway, Sichuan Palace. In Cincinnati, Ohio. It's in Clifton near the University of Cincinnati. It's only been open for, what, maybe like a year and a half now?
About 2 years, I would say. I think they were open during COVID.
Yeah, or maybe right at the end of it. It's hard to say.
Are we already at the end of COVID? I'm not so sure.
Debatable. What, did COVID ever end? When did it ever really begin? What year is it?
Might be the end of quarantine.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
That sounds right.
Yes. So it's a relatively new place. There are a few Sichuan cuisine in Cincinnati area, but I think this one is the newest.
Yeah, and it kind of hits that sweet spot for us because since we have moved, obviously the restaurants that we used to frequent and patronize all the time have become further away from us. This is now the closest to us, despite the fact that it is actually still kind of far away, but well worth the drive. So, Doris, if you're ready, I would like to dive in, take our first bite, if you will. Just to run through some geography, characteristic, history, maybe even a few fun facts around Sichuan food, which is the cuisine of the aptly named Sichuan Palace. So my number one fun fact is, of course, despite what you may be thinking, not all food from Sichuan is hot. It may blow your mind, I know. A follow-up fun fact, Sichuan, it's the home of the most adorable animal in the world, as far as I'm aware. The panda, of course. Doris, do you have any facts that you think can top either of these? I think they're pretty good.
So many people might know all the Sichuan restaurants are actually Chinese restaurants, but most people don't really know where Sichuan is. So Sichuan is a province of China that is kind of like in the central part. Let me see. It's more like towards the west side of China, and it's surrounded by mountains, rivers, lakes, forests, forests that's where the panda used to live. Fun fact, Russell already mentioned Sichuan is the hometown of pandas, but many people probably not know that all the pandas in the whole world are originally from China, and there are two major places they live in. One is Sichuan and the other one is Dongbei. the northeast part of China. Russell is smiling because Russell loves Dongbei food.
I love Dongbei food. Shout out, if you ever see Gobao Roe on a menu, just order it. It's so good. I think it's my favorite Chinese food.
We'll save that for a different episode. Yeah. Because, yeah, since China, similar with US, is a very big country. So they have different style of cuisine. And Sichuan cuisine is for sure like one of the most popular one.
Yes. Now, I think one interesting thing that maybe stems from the geography of Sichuan, as you've mentioned, it's kind of in the center part of China. It doesn't have access to the ocean.
No.
Now, I've noticed that pickling different dishes and having preserved, you know, like preserved vegetables or pickled meats or things, you know, covered in oil, like all of these things are very popular in Sichuan. And I suspect that being a landlocked province, having no easy access, you know, to like trade routes over the ocean might have something to do with that. I haven't actually found any research that says that's 100% the origin of it, but in my mind, it kind of all adds up. I would be interested if anyone actually knows for sure. Doris, I see, is waving her hands in the air. I suspect you know.
I think part of it is, like, as you say, it's not near any water route, so the transportation takes longer. But keep in mind, with how long the history China had, in ancient times, we didn't have refrigerators. So actually, in different regions, you'll see a lot of, like, pickled food, especially in very cold place, in, like, a more central area, because in old times, people need to reserve their food for a longer time. I think that definitely contributes more to it for storage purpose. Modern times, people might not have as many marinated food because they can save things in the refrigerators, but it has become part of the tradition. So it's part of the food culture now.
Now, I'm glad that you've mentioned tradition and modern versus old times, because it may shock some people that Sichuan food has been around longer than refrigerators. It has been not just around, but it's been popular for almost 800 years ago, just according to the research that I've looked up on it. 800 years is older than quite a number of countries. So for something to have been popularized for that long seems really impressive to me. That's like a rich culinary tradition, which kind of explains why there's so many different dishes within Sichuan cuisine. Now, here's another, this is a really fun fact. You might have thought that you've escaped my fun facts. They remain fun. They remain here. Orange peel, very much a relatively common ingredient in Sichuan food. You might be thinking to yourself, I know of a dish that has orange in its name. Fun fact, it's orange chicken. Sichuan food, like many of the provinces, has, you know, it's inspired Americanized Chinese food in some way, shape, or form.
Okay, so, Russell, I have a fun fact for you now.
Oh, hit me with it.
Okay, is it spicy? You know, orange peel was like a Chinese medicine?
Mm.
Yes, because when I was young, my grandpa would collect all the orange peels and put them for tea or for medicine. I bet some Chinese medicine stores will still collect them for the medication purpose.
Well, luckily, anything fried like orange chicken is just medication for the soul, even if it means you might need a different kind of medication when you become older for things such as high cholesterol.
Yeah, no. That way it's no longer medicine.
Yeah. Now, I guess a different thing, right? As we continue our medicine segues, a great way, if you're feeling under the weather or really stuffed up, to clear your sinuses is really spicy food. Yes, Sichuan is obviously known for spicy food, and probably the most famous thing that you can think of is Sichuan-style hot pot. I would argue that when you think of Sichuan food, you're probably thinking of like all those red peppers. You're thinking of something really spicy. You know, the steam is coming off of it and it's making your eyes water because it's so fragrant. And, you know, yes, that's part of Sichuan food. So I just want to say, you know, we can't leave that elephant in the room unacknowledged. It's a pretty big part of the cuisine. Doris, how much do we love hot pot?
We love it a lot. It's like a bittersweet thing for us now. It brings us joy, sometimes pain, the same night or the next day.
Yeah, it also does bring us quite a lot of cleaning. And unfortunately, you can probably take a guess at who is the person who has to clean that. I'll give you a hint. It's not me. So now, on the topic of hot pot, I actually want to start talking about some characteristics of Sichuan food. Just, you know, before we transition into how that relates to Sichuan Palace, let's just prepare ourselves for, you know, this eye-opening, sinus-clearing information that is the Sichuan peppercorn. Super, super fun fact, as I recently found out about a couple hours ago today, Sichuan peppercorn, not all that closely related to black pepper, but where this fact becomes extremely fun, it's actually in the same family as a citrus. So a citrus is closer to a Sichuan peppercorn than black pepper. I will let you digest that little morsel.
That is surprising. I can see why Sichuan peppercorn is not related to black pepper, but I'm still shocked that it's closer to citrus. Sichuan peppercorn, I personally don't think it's spicy. It's more like it brings numbness to your tongue and your mouth. Any part that touches it, you feel numb rather than like spicy or hot.
Yeah, I think I saw a quote that described Sichuan peppercorns and Sichuan food.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to try and remember it, as I didn't write it down in this research, but it was something to the effect of, you know, one dish, one shape, many flavors, many tastes. And apparently that's because the Sichuan peppercorn, because of the way it interacts with your tongue, it can make a lot of flavors taste different when you mix it with Sichuan peppercorn. So just by the inclusion of this one kind of miracle ingredient, you give yourself so many ways of enjoying the same ingredients, you know, over the span of weeks, months, years, or in this case, even a lifetime. So one of the last things I want to talk about is just like some other characteristic things than just spicy. Obviously, we've talked about pickled food. There's also like a sort of bean paste style within Sichuan food. And I think that this is what translates loosely to like a fish flavored sort of dish, which is interesting to me because I, prior to having Sichuan food, didn't really have any sort of concept of fish flavored that wasn't seafood. Like there's not fish in it. And yet it's this, you know, this really kind of addicting, mildly sweet, kind of savory combination that it's just like you eat it and you're like, I need to have more of this because I don't know how I feel about it. You do actually know how you feel about it. You like it, but it's just, it's different. And this was actually one of the most surprising things for me because, you know, when we think of Sichuan food, again, it's always hot, 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 hot. But to have something that is, you know, almost mildly sweet and very refreshing, it gives us perfect balance. So this is definitely something else in Sichuan food that I think would surprise a lot of people. And I would really recommend trying this if you're ever at a restaurant that serves good Sichuan food.
Just a side note. So when we translate it, they sometimes call it fish flavored. For example, fish-flavored pork, fish-flavored eggplant. But just to get rid of the confusion for some people, some places don't use fish-flavored. They use garlic sauce. because garlic is a main ingredient in the sauce. So some place call it fish flavor eggplant, some place call it eggplant with garlic sauce. They're actually the same dish. Just to make sure some vegetarian people won't think, oh, fish flavor eggplant, fish in it, I cannot order it. Actually, there's no fish in it at all. It's just like a garlic sauce mixed with different seasoning and have like a little bit like savory flavor. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I think that's interesting that you've brought up that there's this translation, because when we look at Sichuan Palace's menu and kind of how this all ties back together, there's actually a dish called shredded pork with garlic sauce. And that's exactly what it is it's this, you know, fish flavored sauce or this garlic sauce that you've just talked about.
Yeah, because one time we ordered this dish, we didn't order the pork one, we ordered the eggplant one, because our friend Ashu, if he's listening, yeah, he's a vegetarian, so we didn't want to freak him out by saying fish flavored eggplant. We just like, okay, how can we translate it to make him know there's no seafood or meat in it? So we found out it's actually eggplant with garlic sauce.
Yes. Now, a few other notable dishes on this menu for Sichuan Palace. I want to start by saying, yes, they have an Americanized Chinese menu. It's not exclusively authentic Chinese food. They do actually have a pretty good Americanized menu. I was surprised. We've tried their Americanized food, and it didn't taste overly greasy like you'll sometimes get from restaurants. So I give them, you know, of course, that little bit of promotion that if you're worried about the food, or if you're nearby and you're like, I don't know about Chinese food, you know, not authentic stuff, but I just want, like, you know, safe, like, you know, orange chicken, it is pretty good. But they have this great authentic menu, such as there's a dish, I don't really know the way to translate it, it's called Zhong Shui Jiao. And I've never seen this in any other Sichuan restaurant in Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's, I think on their website, they call it dumplings with Sichuan chili oil. I don't think it do the justice of this dish, because there are a lot of places serve dumplings, but they are the only place that has the closest flavor to what I've tried in Sichuan. I've only had this like when I was traveling Sichuan before, so I'm glad they brought this dish to Cincinnati.
Yeah, and I guess a few other notes, right? You can get, they have a lot of whole fish dishes. Their boiled whole fish even has like green peppercorn or red pepper style fish, which, again, these are both very emblematic of the Sichuan cuisine. So they've done this great job of kind of providing all these different flavors from the iconic flavors of Sichuan food. And they've brought them here, and I think done a lot of justice to them, and even brought in some very unique dishes like Zhong Shui Jiao that you can't really get anywhere else. So one thing I do want to note, and again, this, if you're listening to this and you live in Cincinnati, I really encourage you to go there, because, you know, their team does such a good job of just like telling people, oh, here on this menu, you know, this is an authentic dish, or this is an Americanized dish. You know, this authentic dish, do you like, say, for instance, spicy things? Or, oh, this says garlic sauce, like this is going to be more savory, this isn't spicy at all. And they do a good job of really encouraging you to try new things without seeming pushy or judgmental about it, which I really appreciate. I think that's, it's such, you know, it's so emblematic of this podcast where, you know, food is meant to be a shared experience, and it's meant to cross all sorts of borders. It's meant to cross cultures. And by sharing their food in, I think, a really open kind of adaptive mindset, right? Like, you know, there's different people than maybe who would normally eat your food. So you find a way to explain it to them. You find a way to, you know, assuage any fears they may have or preconceptions they may have about what Sichuan food is. And I think hopefully it's translated to more people who've visited them trying their authentic food, because it's just, it's so good. It would be a waste not to try it if you go there.
Yeah, I think they did an excellent job on explaining things. As long as they're not busy, their servers or owner would explain each dish to you. Sometimes they will even like bring up the culture behind it, like why Mapo tofu is called Mapo. And I really like those little like side knowledge they introduced. I enjoy it a lot.
I guess where we talk about their menu and all these, you know, different dishes they have and all of these unique experiences they bring, Doris, what I want to ask you, as more of an expert on it than I am, and I like to think I'm somewhat of an expert, but, you know, what do you think is the most authentic item or something that they've done the most justice to? Obviously, we've talked about Zhong Shui Jiao and how that's, you know, really unique. No one else is doing that. They've replicated it closely to what you've tried in Sichuan. So, you know, maybe what are some other honorable mentions for things that you think, wow, this really stood out. They did an awesome job on it.
I think they have some items with green Sichuan peppercorn. It's really authentic because it's really hard to find green peppercorn in the area, and it has a unique, like, tingling with like spicy flavor. I really enjoy it, and I find that very unique. If you are okay with spicy things, give it a try. I think you'll like it.
You know, we've talked a lot about the food so far for Sichuan Palace. I think what is also equally important in the spirit of our podcast is how the food has shaped our story, how it's, you know, helped us and maybe expanded our lives. Obviously, the biggest thing is that Sichuan food plays a very important part in how Doris and I met. I always say, out of context, of course, but I always say she should have said no when I first asked her out to dinner. Because the first place that we went out to dinner was a Sichuan restaurant. And surely anyone who sees us together is like, what are you doing? Like, you saw this girl from China and you asked her to go to a Chinese restaurant for your first date. How dumb are you? Now, with the context, of course, that, you know, we bonded over food. We're both foodies. We, you know, we love Chinese food. We love all food. But I listed off, you know, just a few places to try in the area. And just the one that we had picked was a Sichuan restaurant, as it so happens. And that was the first of many really successful dates for us. We ordered a whole bunch of food from that restaurant.
You ordered a whole bunch of food.
Yeah, I ordered a bunch of food. I was trying to impress Doris with my knowledge and worldliness of food. So we ordered a bunch of food.
I was very impressed, just let you know.
Yeah, it worked because now we're married.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess Sichuan food for us will always make us smile because it takes us back. When we think of, you know, when we think of Sichuan food, I think of those memories that we have together of, you know, just like getting to know each other over a shared interest of Sichuan food. And we had a blend of really spicy stuff. We had some like pickled vegetables and pork with noodles. We had some fried stuff as well. I think it was a scallion pancake that we had. And it's just like, all of these things were happy moments for us. And when we go and have Sichuan food, it feels like that happy moment just continues. It's always something that we can smile over and say, oh, do you remember when? Or, oh, like one of my favorite things from, you know, our day, like, oh, we got this the first time that we were dating. All of these moments that we can share together are really special for us. So, and I think food can do that for a lot of people. I think it can do it for everyone, as long as you can find a shared interest.
I agree. Even though, like, as people say, music is a world language. We agree food is also a world language. You can share different flavors, different taste, and bond people from different background together.
Yeah, and something that really bonded us together, I'm already laughing thinking of it, is we collectively call it the volcano pot incident. So obviously, again, to now that we've told you this stigma of, oh, not all Sichuan food is spicy, oh, it's not that bad, there's a lot of flavors to it, there's a lot of profile that makes it really unique and interesting, and it's not all about what you hear and see.
But when it's spicy, it can be really spicy.
It can be... my stomach was in actual pain. Like, I was sweating, eating. just, like, I would dip chopsticks in, I would pull out something from this, take one bite, and I could feel my body temperature climbing just with every single bite. I think my entire face must have been red when we were eating. And I
don't remember as much the process when we were eating. I just know we packed at home, and the second day we keep eating it, and it only get more spicy. And yeah. Russell, you can tell the rest of
we couldn't really figure it out, right? Because we said, oh, it's getting kind of spicy. We'll add more water into this to make it less spicy. And I'm pretty sure the more water we added to it and the more we steamed off the various fats in it, it just kept leaving us with only the spice. And I think that was our mistake, was not adding something like maybe stock or broth to it. Because just doing straight water, in hindsight, I think that was a problem of our own making. But again, it's, you know, it was good in the moment. It's just the many moments that followed it were not so good and were kind of uncomfortable. And we didn't have Sichuan food for like a solid maybe week and a half after that, because we were like, no.
Yeah. I think our spice tolerance definitely has gone down since COVID.
Yeah, we used to eat a lot of Sichuan food, and maybe we need to eat more spicy food from Sichuan Palace. I think one other thing that really jumps out to me, and Sichuan Palace has certainly been a large part of it, is in learning Chinese, I've worked to learn the names of a lot of Chinese dishes, because for us, food has been, you know, it's been something that's bonded us. It's brought us together. So when we talk about like Zhang Shui Jiao or U Shang Ro, you know, I remember my U Shang Ro is one of them. It's one that I always order because it was one of the names that I learned very early on in our relationship. And
in
another
case
one,
anyone wanted to know, U Shang Ro was the pork with garlic sauce, the fish flavor pork we talked about earlier.
Yes. And then another one that I learned I don't know if I learned it very early on. It's just I loved the flavor of it. I loved eating it. And it took me quite a while to remember the name. It's the like red, like a red pepper fried fish fillets. And it's Xiangla Upian or Xiangla Uquai. Depending on the size of the fish, one is larger than the other. I say this as Doris is looking at me, expecting me to be able to remember which one is larger and which one is smaller. And I'm realizing, as she's laughing at me, that she is realizing that I have no recollection of which one is larger and smaller.
Okay, so the one from Sichuan Chili is Xiangla Yuquai, and the one from Sichuan Palace is Xiangla Yupian. So pian is like slice. It's thinner.
Mm. And then kuai is like fillet. It's like big, thick. Yeah. I'm getting a thumbs up. I did it. I did good, everyone.
Yes.
So,
bien.
So I think one thing that has been really fun, and I appreciate that they explain these dishes to everyone, because if you also want to learn the Chinese names for these dishes, I bet they would tell them to you and they would teach them to you if you find something that you really like. So really just to bring it back around to that story of how they're willing to explain dishes to everyone, I appreciate that they help you connect the food back to the language for the country that it's from as well. So I guess before we wrap up here, Doris, I have some off-topic Sichuan-related questions for you, just for us to have fun with, you know, a sort of dessert, if you will, for this episode. The first, which I guess is very related, right? What would you recommend if someone's going to go to Sichuan Palace? What are you saying? Hey, this is what you've got to try. 100% hands down.
I think their kung pao chicken is very solid.
Yeah. I think I'm going to recommend it. It's either the Yushangro, the shredded pork with garlic sauce, or the red dry fish fillets, the Shangla Ukwai.
Yupian.
I've already forgotten it. Look at that.
It's okay.
I think they're pretty safe because the fish is not too spicy. It's a little spicy. And the garlic sauce shredded pork it's actually just very addicting. I could probably eat that. I don't want to say at every single meal, but I could eat it once a week and I wouldn't get tired of it because it's this perfect balance of savory and you get the garlic that just comes through, and who doesn't love garlic? Oh, and then you have the fattiness of the pork. Oh, I'm making myself hungry just thinking about it.
Yeah, I just think of the other dish, their general sauce tofu is actually really good. Don't ask why we would order that, but yeah, we tried it. It was really good.
Yes. Actually, that's a great call out because it really is unbelievably good. Yeah. I was surprised when we had that. So now I also want to ask you, what would be the weirdest thing to combine with Sichuan flavor? Because I was thinking about this before we recorded, and for whatever reason, I got traumatized by thinking about Sichuan peppercorn flavored ice cream. And I just I thought about this and I was like, that sounds disgusting. Like, why would I even think about it? Does that exist? Is that what you're showing me on your phone?
I saw this question, then I started Google it. Yes, it exists.
I'm traumatized knowing that it exists. I've never had it,
but I don't mind to try it.
I would definitely try it. Even though I'm saying I'm traumatized, I would 100% try it. Just so I can make a judgment. I think you asked the
wrong person this question. I feel most Asians won't be too traumatized by your question.
Yeah. Well, okay, but what do you think, though? Like, what's something that you wouldn't want to combine with Sichuan flavors? Maybe you are the better person to ask than me.
Me, personally, is not a big fan of combine savory and desserts together. So if anyone say, okay, I'm going to dip this this cake into hot pot, I'll be like, no, why you would do that, right? But I believe these things exist, and there are always some people who like it.
Yeah, apparently people like Sichuan peppercorn ice cream. I'm blown away still that that exists. I can't believe you found that while we're here recording this. Yeah. Now, one thing that Sichuan peppercorn flavored things do taste great on, if you guys haven't heard, Lay's makes great flavored chips, like really weird, different flavored chips. Like, we're not talking like barbecue or salt and vinegar chips. They have some great international chips, including like a green peppercorn hot pot flavored chip. And I'm always blown away by how they make these actually taste just dead on for what you would actually go get at the table. I mean, it's really impressive. Like, just go get these. Like, you can Google it right after this. Maybe, you know what? I'll throw some into the show notes of just some examples. But they have so many different flavors, and they're all weird, out there, but delicious.
If you wonder where to find them, Jungle Gyms is a good place to check out. Local Asian markets such as Kim, Dayo, V-Mart, E-Star, they usually carry some as well. But check out Jungle Gyms first if you're interested.
Now, of course, if you are not local to Cincinnati, I guess these grocery store names don't necessarily help you. But I can promise you, you know, local places around you as well are probably going to have these, and they will make you smile and freak out by just thinking, like, how do they make it taste exactly like this? Or how do they get these kinds of flavoring? My answer is, I don't know yet. I'll do some research. Maybe we'll do a special Lay's chips episode someday.
And we do have a favorite one lately.
Ooh, yes, we do. Is it the same one?
Yes, the one I finished and you were not happy.
I am unhappy, actually. I still can't believe that you finished that without me. It was like a black truffle Lay's chip. I'm so mad about that now. I only had two of them.
I was snacking on it, and I was like, Russell, I'm going to finish this snack. Russell was like, yeah, okay. And earlier today, Russell was like, why you finish the chips?
Yeah, it was the empty container just sitting there. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have a black truffle chip. Nope, it's empty. I was devastated.
It was really good. I wish they could make more, like, in the United States.
Yeah. Hey, Lay's, if you're listening to this, you could be sponsoring this podcast.
Okay, someone share this to Lay's, please.
All right. Well, with that, I think we've said our piece. We've left people off with dessert. You've had a chance to digest and really settle down. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, this little meal for your ears. So as always, we want to thank everyone who has tuned in and who continues to tune in. These episodes are, of course, meant to tantalize your taste buds, awaken your appetite, if you will. And if you want to awaken the appetite through the eyes, then you can find us on Twitter, on Instagram, like we said, soon to be TikTok, at Cincy Foodcast. We'll go ahead, we'll throw some details from the show into the show notes. So, of course, check those out. If there's, you know, anything that you're interested in, we'll try and leave a few comments about some of the things we've talked about just in those notes. So, as always, go with a good appetite this week, and we will see you all next time.